Pastor Ing. Well, thank you, men, for singing. It's much easier to preach after that. I have visited churches where I've preached after music that didn't make it easier to preach. So praise the Lord for some good stirring music. Good principles there. We've had a good week so far. I've enjoyed the music all the way and I've enjoyed the messages. I trust you've enjoyed the messages. Amen. Class acts. If you were there on Monday night, it was a hard act to follow. I started thinking about an axe that we have at home, and the boys were cutting wood with the axe, and in the end, the wood cut the axe. We've got an axe head without a handle, and we're looking for a new stick. And there's a lot of sticks gone by the wayside, but young people here, we're looking for new sticks everywhere to fill their places. So we're looking for some next year. We've got four that are leaving. We need at least four more, and perhaps more. We've had some good years in college, and I prefer it as a lecturer when there's a group. It gets very personal when there's one or two. Roy probably remembers times. I think you were in a class, Roy. There was two of us there at one stage, and then somebody was absent. It becomes very personal. But I'm enjoying having a better class. And I want to take this opportunity as a last opportunity of the year for the four graduates to bring a challenge to them, as it were. Just before we do that, just like to acknowledge Brother Simeon. Simeon's been with us for the last 2 years, and Kate, and they've come down and studied here at college, and they've been a blessing in our church. Thank you. And I count it a privilege to have had them there, and looking forward to them going back and ministering. Not that we're looking forward to them going back, but we're looking forward to them going back and serving the Lord there and getting involved in the ministry out west, and looking to the Lord's future for them. And likewise, each of the students, they've been a blessing, and it is one of the great privileges that we have to be able to share in their lives, and hopefully to make some little dent, some impact, some difference in their lives, and have some input. And if we've done that, then it's just been a privilege. And thank you to the students for giving us that opportunity. It is a blessing. So because you're all leaving, and because we don't get another class together, and because there's no more quizzes, and because there's no more chapels, I just want to challenge the students this morning, and particularly those who are leaving us, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. It's my last little opportunity to squeeze the last bit of knowledge I have into your heads before you go out. And somebody said knowledge is exploding at such a rate there are more than 2,000 pages a minute of knowledge that are being added to the known world. They said if you read 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and maintained everything that you learned, by the time you'd finished in your lifetime, you'd be 1.5 million behind 1.5 million years behind the time when you began. We're not learning as much as there is knowledge to be learned. There's plenty to be learned. And what I want to encourage you as a student is don't stop learning. You're graduating from college, but don't stop learning. Just got to find the other graduates. I can see one, but only one. Where are the graduates? Will the graduates stand up? There's one there. Okay, good. Three, yeah. All right. Fourth was here, but she's in the nursery. Okay. We know 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. and we're challenged to study to show thyself approved unto God. It's on the It's on there. It's over there. Why do we study? And why do we learn? We want to rightly divide. We want to, more than that, we want to show ourselves approved unto God. The scriptures make it clear that it's not about what you learn, but it's about what you become through learning. It's not about what goes into your head, it's about what God does in your heart that matters. And it wasn't about straightening out your doctrine and your philosophy, although that's a part of it. But it's about making you a straight individual that can be used of God. It's not about learning so that we can win an argument, but rather so that we can win a soul. It's not about learning simply so that we can preach a better sermon, but rather so that we can live a better life. And so I want to challenge you this morning to continue in your learning. And as I read my Bible over the last number of weeks, I've noticed that the Bible, and Paul in particular, but throughout the Scriptures, we find a challenge not to be ignorant. Not to be ignorant. So without making any suggestions of the graduates, I want to challenge you, don't be ignorant. And I'll give you five simple areas this morning for us to consider regarding ignorance. First of all, I'd like to put a goal out in front of you as you graduate and go into ministry. And the goal is that of productivity. Productivity in the ministry. Would you turn with me over to Romans chapter 1, please? In Romans 1, in verse number 13, Paul encourages the Romans of his intent toward them. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul was not indifferent to a purpose. Paul desired fruit. Paul went down to minister to the Romans to the intent that he might have fruit among them. And I want to encourage you that whatever it is that you're doing in the service of the Lord, it's not just to get it done. It's not just to get through another Sunday. It's not just to get through another class. It's not just to have dealt with another outreach moment. Your endeavor ought to be for fruit. One of the great things that God puts as a carrot out in front of us is fruit. One of the great joys of serving God is fruit. The Bible tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, one of the things that will keep you going when times get tough is the fruit. Paul said in Thessalonians, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. So I want to encourage you as you graduate, or for those who are in college, or for those who are part of a church, don't just do church. Don't just kill time. Don't just go through the motions. Life is not random. Ministry is not random. Our purpose is that we might touch somebody. We want to be looking. We want to be consciously aiming to touch a life and to make a difference. Now, you may not know who it's going to be, but there are those that surround you, and we ought to be consciously aiming at touching those lives. And as we go out to minister to the unknown bodies that we're going to meet on a given time, We're looking for those who are open that we may impact their lives with the gospel of Christ. There ought to be a spiritual endeavor of productivity in the lives of those that we're working with. I've said before, I honestly can't believe it that they pay me to do my job. I have the blessing while everybody else is working, I actually get to read my Bible. How good is that? I go and share with people the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can't get better than that. I get to do some study and I get to sit down with some and teach and counsel with the Word of God. And then I get up to preach and I love to preach, and it's almost unfair. And they pay me for it. And that's just, well, you can look for a good job if you like, but I can't see any better options out there. I just love the privilege of being able to serve the Lord and be able to be a preacher. In fact, we were going through the life of many godly people in our class of biographies, and a number of the students put together a presentation, and we watched a number of presentations of men and women of God who have made a difference. And at the end of it all I could say was, I want to be a preacher. It's made up my mind. I've decided what I want to do. And that was last week. So let me put a carrot in front of you. There are lives that will be impacted because of you. And it's going to make it all worthwhile. And there are opportunities of directing some who already know the Lord to walk with Him, to seek Him, to serve Him. And that ought to be great reason to get involved in ministry. Productivity. Now, I hope I've blown your balloon up enough so that now I can get my pin. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's ministry productivity, but let's not go in blindly. We want to understand that there is ministry pressure. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Don't be ignorant. You can study all you like, but you need to understand this as you go out into ministry, that ministry has its own pressures. There are difficulties in ministry. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." There's grace to go through those things. In chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We understand that the devil is going to squeeze you on every side, and he's going to press you. And the devil is not impressed when somebody goes out and decides to serve God. And the devil doesn't want you happily serving God and enjoying it. So he's going to bring pressures with an endeavor to break you. We remember that a tea bag, when the hot water comes, it brings out whatever's on the inside. And you know, when the hot water comes in our lives, sometimes what's inside spills out. And the pressures bring out the reality of godliness or the lack thereof. But let's not confuse the reality that there will be pressures in the ministry. Somebody wrote, "Pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seemed beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressure by foes and pressure by friends. Pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into knowing no helper but God. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod. Pressed into liberty where nothing clings. Pressed into faith for impossible things. Pressed into tasting the joy of the Lord. Pressed into loving a Christ life outpoured." You know, pressure isn't all bad. God allows pressure in you because He wants to make you better. He wants to use you in a greater capacity. We don't want to be scared of the pressure, but we don't want to be ignorant of the reality, or you'll throw the towel in when the pressure comes along. And believe me, the pressure will come. At times, you may see and say, what am I doing here? Why am I a preacher? I mean, if there's anything else in the world I could do, I'd rather be that than a preacher. What made me ever think of being a preacher? When all the pressures come and when I've thrown the towel in time and again and the pressure just seems so great. Don't go in blindly, there will be pressures. And there are times that you'll want to get out of your spot, but if it's a place that God has placed you, it's a place worth being. Now, concerning pressure, we understand the pressure of a water system. If you were to go down under the water, you can only go down so deep without the pressure impacting you. You know, in our lives, there are times when the pressure would impact us. At times when we feel like we're going to crack. You know, even a submarine, if it goes down deep enough, it's said that the pressure will crush it like an aluminium can. So they have developed certain miniature submarines to go down to the very deep. And it's said that they have walls that are several inches thick steel, to keep the pressure out. And they can go down to the great depths of the ocean. You know, when they get right down in the very depths of the ocean where no submarine, regular submarine, could go, with all that pressure, you know, they look out their little peepholes and what do they see? Fish. God made fish that had the capacity to withstand great pressure. So they said, what makes these fish able to withstand so great a pressure? When we can only get in there with thick walls around us. And they found that these fish actually had internal pressure. Not an external wall, but an internal power that was the same as the pressure without. And you know, the pressure outside will crush you in the ministry if there is not the pressure that comes from within, the power of God. You can build a thick skin on the outside and become hardened and insensitive and indifferent to the things around you, but that will ruin the ministry. Your endeavor is not just to endure the pressure, but rather to make a difference to lives. So what we need there is the power within. And we get to the third thing that Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. There's something else you need not be ignorant of. There's something else you dare not be ignorant of, and that is the power of God. Paul says to the Corinthians, you're not ignorant of spiritual gifts. You know all about them. You're just ignorant of the power that's behind them. You're ignorant of the God working through these things. Or you understand all about the possibility of these things, but you don't understand the power that's behind them. Graduates, when you get out, learn that the words that Jesus spoke were more than rhetoric when he said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And you might be able and capable, as all of you are, but without him you can do nothing. Unless we find where God wants us to be and how God wants us to serve and faithfully fulfill that, you're going to be barking up the wrong tree. The pressure is going to destroy you. You will find that your preacher wants you in one place. Your mother probably wants you in another. Your wife may say something different, or wife-to-be. And you never know where you may end up, but you want to consider where God wants you. Because unless we are fulfilling the call of God on our lives, it's all going to come to pieces. So don't be ignorant of the power of God. Learn, exercise, use the power of God. Learn to get a hold of God. Every one of us needs to learn how to get hold of God. It was Mueller that said we must learn. I should get one of our students to help me with this. Who was in biographies? What did he say? Move man through God by prayer alone. We must learn to move man through God by prayer alone. Unless we find God doing the work will not be done. God must be involved in what we're doing. We want to see God at work, but often we don't take the work seriously. We want to see the excitement, but we rarely understand the power of God. You know, it's true when God says we are laborers together with God. As we go out there and get involved in activity, we need to make sure that God is holding the other end so that the work becomes effective. Spiritual power. We've noted spiritual productivity. Have a goal of touching a life, of making a difference, of having fruit. We've noted the goal of the reality of ministry pressure. We've noted then the spiritual power. But I want you to notice also spiritual precedence. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 10, in the first verse, we read, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Students, your last opportunity from me at least, don't be ignorant. "How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now, these things were our examples to the intent that you should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. I want you to note here some precedents for the ministry. In the power of God, you are unstoppable. There is no power that can hinder you. But Paul says, I want you to go in recognizing where others have gone before. I want you to remember what's gone before you. So I'd like to take just a moment to remind us of some of the great men of old who were given us as examples. God gave us a Noah who, when all was said and done and the work had been accomplished, decided it was time to rest. But with him comes a warning that when you rest, you need to rest carefully, or else your life may impact another negatively. Be careful in rest times, because we see what happened to men like Noah. God gave us a Lot. With Lot, we understand the principle that we need to go beyond the concept of those who suppose that gain is godliness. Lot desired the world, and the world ate him up. The world offered him so much and took everything away that he had. So learn from a lot. It was no mistake that God gave us the writings of a man named David to show us that even godly men fall. And there is a time when it is appropriate for kings to go forth to battle. And from that we learn that it's not right to stay home when it's time to go forward. It's not right to sit back when you ought to be involved in the battle. And it doesn't matter how tired you may be, and it doesn't matter how pressured you feel, but there are times when it's right to get up and go forwards and get involved in the battle. Don't sit back while others go out and do the work that you should be involved in. And God gave us a Moses to remind us that even meek men lose it. God gave us a Jonah for us to realize that God's ways are the best ways the first time around. And if we would just learn to say, I will keep that which I have vowed. I'll let God have what I gave him last time. I've given it up before. I'll give it up again. Wouldn't it be better rather than recommitting to stay committed, to let God have it all? God gave us an Aaron to demonstrate that what you put in is what you get out. And you may say, well, look, out came this calf. But if you're putting the gold in and molding it towards a calf, three guesses what's going to come out. You know, when we put in the philosophy of the world, out will come bad religion. Out will come bad worship. Out will come a wrong endeavor. It will ruin your lives. God gave us a Peter to remind us that we must watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. God gave us a Demas so that we would understand what will happen if we love this present world. The world is not your friend. It never was. It never will be. God gave us examples. You know, the road is strewn with old sticks, broken sticks. Sadly. But let's not be ignorant of the fact that there are many along the sides of the road who've started well and given up the race. Students, you could be one of them. Take your eyes off Christ and you will be one of them. So don't be ignorant of Satan and his devices, of where he wants you to end up. Walk with your God. There is no higher priority than your walk with God. You need to guard that above everything. Spiritual precedents. Learn from those who've gone and won, but learn from those who've gone and failed. Learn from those who've dropped out. From time to time, we hear of those who've gone poorly. And it normally hits me and rocks me. In general, I'll take some time to sit down and say, where did they go wrong? What was it that troubled them? That hindered them. Because I want to learn. I want to preserve the things God has established so that we can go forwards. Don't be ignorant. Lest I leave you discouraged, I want to leave you with a spiritual priority. A ministry priority. Would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3? 2 Peter 3. Used in many different ways to emphasize the good, the bad, and the ugly. But verse number 8 we read, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. It doesn't tell us that God is bound by time. It doesn't tell us that a day is 1,000 years, and therefore when God said he created in a day, he really meant it was a time. It doesn't tell us any of that. What it does tell us is that God is outside of time, that time is not relevant to God. I want you to notice what he goes on to say in this passage, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Sorry, I've skipped a verse here. Let's go back to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? God tells us this: soon judgment is coming. But God is merciful. He's withholding. But soon it will be a reality. There is no holding it forever. It will come. God, while time exists, has a burden for souls. God has a desire. And that desire is absolutely and completely wrapped in the concept of eternity. Everything that God endeavors towards is eternal. So he says, don't worry about all these things that be here. They're all going to be burned up. They're all bound by time. Think about people. They're eternal. Don't be concerned with the issues that rise. Don't be concerned with, on the one hand, the pressures of life, or even on the other hand, the blessings of life. We can be so consumed with all of these things which consume us in now, but live for eternity. If we were not so taken by the things of earth, if we were not so troubled by the difficulties we experience, we could press beyond those things and see eternity. If we could see eternity, we could live for something that matters, for something that will make a difference forever and ever. We could live for the souls of men. Somebody says, you can't kill time without affecting eternity. You can't kill time without affecting eternity. Use your time for the sake of eternity. Use your life. You only have one. It will soon be gone. We have an opportunity to make a difference, and if our priority is eternity, we'll be able to do something that's worthwhile. A group of friends went deer hunting. They broke up in pairs and they went out. Different groups came back, and eventually one lone hunter staggered up the hill with a great big deer on his shoulders. His friends looked at him. Where's Harry? He said, Harry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple of miles back up the trail. You left Harry laying there and carried the deer back? Well, said the hunter, I figured no one was going to steal Harry. We have a warped sense of values, don't we? And so often the things that matter are the things that are left behind. I want to encourage you. Have a ministry priority. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Ministry productivity. Look for fruit and impact lives. Ministry pressure is a reality. It will come. Don't go in blindly. When it comes, remember, there is ministry power, the power of God to keep you through. Ministry precedents all around us. Make them something to keep you on your toes, to walk with your God, and keep a ministry priority. People matter. Eternity matters.
Let's bow together in prayer. There is an altar here if it is needed. If you need to come and find a place of prayer down here, you may do so. Otherwise, just where you are, consider the message this morning and these important priorities in our lives. Spend a few moments.